Let's turn to Joshua chapter 17. It's good to see everyone. Long time no see. All right, Joshua 17. Now, this was the lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph. To Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, was allotted Gilead and Bashan because he was a man of war. So the lot was made for the rest of the sons of Manasseh according to their families, for the sons of Ebezer, and for the sons of Helek, and for the sons of Azrael, and for the sons of Shechem, and for the sons of Hefer, and for the sons of Shemida. These were the male descendants of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, according to their families. However, Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, only daughters, and these are the names of his daughters, Mahla and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the leaders, saying, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brothers." So according to the command of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their father's brothers. Thus there fell 10 portions to Manasseh, which beyond the land, besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which is beyond the Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh received an inheritance among his sons. And the land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the sons of Manasseh. And the border of Manasseh ran from Asher to Michmathath, which was east of Shechem, and the border went southward to the inhabitants of En-Tapuah. The land of Tapuah belonged to Manasseh, but Tapuah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the sons of Ephraim. And the border went down to the brook of Cana, southward of the brook. These cities belonged to Ephraim among the cities of Manasseh. And the border of Manasseh was on the north side of the brook, and it ended at the sea. The south side belonged to Ephraim, and the north side to Manasseh. And the sea was their border, and they reached to Asher on the north, and to Issachar on the east. And in Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh and Beth Shean and its towns, and Ibleam and its towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Taanach and its towns, the inhabitants of Megiddo and its towns. The third is Napheth. But the sons of Manasseh could not take possession of these cities because the Canaanites persisted in living in that land. And it came about when the sons of Israel became strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not drive them out completely. Then the sons of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given me only one lot and one portion for an inheritance, since I am a numerous people whom the Lord has thus far blessed?" And Joshua said to them, "If you are a numerous people, go up to the forest and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you." And the sons of Joseph said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the valley have chariots of iron, both of those who are in Bethshean and its towns and those who are in the valley of Jezreel." And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a numerous people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it is a forest, you shall clear it, and to its farthest borders it shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron, and though they are strong." Amen. So I know this is a bit difficult to follow along since there have been so many breaks coming through. But in this particular time, now he's relating the story of Manasseh. And he is one of the primary sons. Remember, it was the two first ones. It was Manasseh and then Ephraim. But Ephraim actually had a more prominent place. And thus, if you remember Genesis, how the father switches hands to bless them and all that stuff. And so they go into this whole history of the territory that Manasseh gets. And it's important to have a very clear history because this is what is going to be laid out for history, basically. And it's still really part of the conflict that's arising in the Middle East. There's really not much to say about all these territories. We've read a lot of these stories already through the first other books, especially about Zelophehad who came and remember did all that stuff. But there's a couple of interesting things we could look at to try to get a little better understanding. One is really the unfaithfulness of Israel, particularly not to follow through with the command of God. Do you remember when they were given this land in Joshua, it was a very, very clear word. He says that you will basically drive out all the inhabitants of the land. The word drive out is really that word dispossess. And so you have to fully take them out of the land because what God is doing, he's actually securing borders for them. But you know, through the history, they didn't do that. And in this case, which makes it actually sound a lot worse, is they actually had the power to do it. In other words, when they first came into the land, the Canaanites were numerous, and they couldn't drive them out. But then the tribe of Manasseh became very strong, and they were stronger than the Canaanites, and they only used them for labor. In other words, they only did what was prudent for them to do. They did what was the easiest for them to do. In other words, they used them for their own benefit. But as a result, we see, I mean, conflict today and continuing conflict, especially as we go through the Chronicles and Kings, and we see how the Canaanites have again and again and again been a thorn in the flesh of the Israelites. And you'll see throughout their history, there are these moments of obedience, or I should say moments of opportunity for obedience. When God had strengthened their hand, in other words, they were right there ready to obey, but instead they thought selfishly for themselves. They only took into consideration what was good for them at that time right there and had really no mind to think about the future generations of Israelites down the road. And so the Canaanites persisted to remain in the land. Now, it's made worse because they became their slaves. You know, as a result of them becoming slaves, they become even more angered towards the Israelites. And we could see how this drama continues to be unfolded. But isn't that a lot of kind of our folly as Christians these days? That we take the road that's a little easier. We take the road that serves us more for here and right now instead of really the road that secures our future generations. And I mean, you see this in terms of the way we treat our environment, very similar way. It's all about right now. And I'm not making a commentary on global warming. I mean, I don't know where you stand on that. But just purely on the issue of ecology, that humanity, humans, we are ruining this world. And we're doing what's expedient for right now. It's the most effective right now. It's the most prudent thing to do right now. And it secures our short-sightedness, but it's really ruining things for the next generations to come. We even look at that in the issue of sin that we deal with. If we were to get God's glasses, you know, his perspective, and there will be a lot of sins that we will run away from because even though they are satisfying right now, they have a very costly effect generationally. I mean, all kinds of things. I mean, dating. I mean, just look at relationships and family. Dating the wrong people. Having sex outside of marriage. You know, all these things seem kind of promising right now. It's very short term. But man, it has major effects down the road. My wife and I, we just came back, and actually Max and Belinda as well, we just came back, and I'll talk more about this in coming Sundays. We went to a marriage workshop. It was crazy. 5 days. Monday through Friday, 9 to 9. Had 12 hours. No coffee breaks. No bathroom breaks. We had a short lunch break. And even in lunch break, we had to do stuff. And then dinner break. And dinner break, we had to do stuff. We had one dinner where we're like there was no agenda. And so this is full on 9 to 9. And, you know, we sit in a table with three other couples. So there's eight per table. And when you hear their stories, everyone's sharing their stories, it's just so, like, hits you in the face how people, and a lot of the brokenness in their marriage, how people I don't want to sound rude about it, but chose short-term gain to the sacrifice of long-term enjoyment. And they just did what was permanent in the short term. And that's basically what you see with Manasseh. You know, God is trying to give them a vision. God is trying to secure them, not just for now, but for future generations. But they only did what was short-sighted. They just chose the easy route and just made them slaves. Well, we have power over them now. Remember, the command of the Lord was dispossess them. In other words, kick them completely out of the land so you can secure your borders and be prosperous and all these things and not have the threat of idolatry seep back in into the faithfulness of Israel. But they only did what was short-sighted. And as a result, I mean, you know, history is still being played out right now, you know, through all this. And then we have the next story, which I think is pretty cool as well, and a little humor. Joshua is using a little satire on these guys. And the sons of Joseph come, and they say, "We are blessed by God. We are so blessed. We have become numerous, and we're so big, we don't have enough land." Now, the land that they're given these guys actually was really good land, but they were greedy. And they said, "We want more land. We want a bigger land." And then Joshua, now remember, the wisdom of Moses was passed on to Joshua. And you could see how Joshua operates in this wisdom. He says, yeah, you're blessed. You're huge. Why don't you go up to fight the Perizzites and go up on the hill country and go like kick their butt, and then you can clear the forest, and that could be your land. Because you're big. And so he's using like their own words to basically put a smackdown on these guys on their pride and their greed. And then they're like, wait a minute. These guys have iron and they have chariots. And the response of Joshua was just like, "I thought you guys were big. I thought you were strong. I thought you were blessed by God." "No, surely. Yeah. You're so big. You don't deserve just one lot. You deserve more than one lot. So again, go to the hill country where the Perizzites are. Drive them out, man, because like you said, you're so big and you're so blessed." And I mean, I don't know if you caught that, but Joshua's mocking them in this way. And in using their own words, he really puts them in their place. And obviously, you don't have to read the rest of the story, but they never go into those lands because what they really want is really what a lot of Christians want from God. They want his blessing or his favor or his stuff, but they're unwilling to do anything for it. You hear what I mean? It's like, "God bless me in this area, but there's no heart to do anything to receive what God is really offering to them." And this by way of Joshua, this is a solid offer. He's saying, "Yeah, here's this land. It's there for you. The Perizzites are on it. Go ahead. Like I'm giving you this land." But it's the nature of the immature that want God's hand, but are unwilling to seek his face for it. They just want the easy one. It's like, can you just give it to me? And there's an unwillingness to work for it. You have to understand, whenever God gives territory, it's he gives the anointing, he gives the favor, all these things, he gives the power to perform it. But you have to perform it. You know what I mean? Like you know, a lot of times we think that it's just going to drop on our laps. That's usually not how God works. And I see this, I know, maybe because this came from a marriage thing. I've been thinking a lot about dating and all these things. It's like a lot of ladies that I see at our church. And don't take offense if you're one of those ladies at our church. But it's like you want a godly husband, and you just expect God to drop that person on your lap. And like, you're not going out. You're not exercising. I'm not saying that was, you know, I know that could sound very sexist, so forgive me for saying that, but I'm just talking about feeling good about yourself, you know, I've already shot myself. Let's just keep, you guys forgive me, let's keep moving on. And so you guys understand what I'm saying, right? Just kind of like not putting yourself in a position to attract men or, you know, guys, I mean, good guys and whatnot. And then, you know, going to the right places. You know, I mean, the bar is not the place where you're going to find them. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, if that's the kind of guy you want, that's the kind of guy you're going to get. But they're usually not found in nightclubs. And yet we continually gravitate towards those kinds of places. And what God does, he has us really allow the Holy Spirit to work on ourselves, you know, to position us in that place. But you have to be in partnership with the Lord, okay? Next time I go to this, I'm going to choose a different illustration. but hopefully you guys understand what I'm trying to say. And the sons of Joseph, man, they were lazy Christians. They just wanted all the good stuff, but didn't want any labor for it. They wanted all the benefits without any sacrifice. And if you remember our series last year, that's the orphan heart. That's exactly what an orphan's like. An orphan just wants all the benefits without any sacrifice. A son will sacrifice without any of the benefits. And crazy enough, the son gets more than the benefits. The son gets an inheritance. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's not fall in the trap of the sons of Manasseh and the sons of Joseph. The sons of Manasseh, unwilling to obey the Lord because of their short-sightedness. God was giving them the ability to overrun the Canaanites, but they chose what was expedient. They chose what benefited them right then and there instead of looking to the future. And as a result, they suffered. And then the sons of Joseph, on a different mode, they want all the blessings, but unwilling to offer any sacrifice. I mean, wouldn't it be a real bummer that when we got to heaven and we asked God, Lord, I asked you for this and I asked you for that. And the Lord said, well, I was giving it to you, but you were just lazy. And you didn't want to lift your finger to gain your inheritance. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Maybe we have Manasseh-like frailties in our life. Or maybe we have sons of Joseph-like frailties. And as the Lord brings conviction to us, let's just respond to the Holy Spirit.
Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. Christ in me is to live, to my sword. He's my peace. He's my Lord. Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. Christ in me is to live, to die.
Let's pray this morning. If you see any parallels in the way Manasseh did things with the Canaanites and, you know, incomplete obedience, or the way the sons of Joseph and unwillingness to follow through, an unwillingness to sacrifice, let's just talk to the Lord about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to draw deep from within us, to bring us to that place of healing, repentance, and completeness. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community focus and let's pray for our family, our church family, who are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word over their families and over their hearts. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Thank you. pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask God's hand to be upon this great nation. The Lord would really move and send His revival. Let's pray for our church family there. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to be with the leaders and the board. And particularly pray for Pastor Hyunsu and as well as for Chloe and the baby in the womb. Let's pray for the Chung family and their travels all throughout China. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents, especially as they embark on translating the Bible in the Dawer language. Let's pray for Edie Clark. Pray for the churches, Underground, Three Self. Pray for Holy Spirit to just allow the pulpits throughout China to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's just lift up this country. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask God to bless and really continue to draw each of us near to Him. Particularly pray, our town hall is coming up next weekend, and so the board is quite busy making preparations for our presentation. And so if we just ask for God's hand upon them, especially lift up Max, who's kind of spearheading the town hall stuff. Pray also, Anna Monica is our secretary, but she's going to be replaced while she goes on maternity leave with Yiling. And so pray for Yiling as well. She joins the board during that time. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for our welcoming and our barista ministry. Let's pray for the hand of the Lord to be upon all of our volunteers and our leaders that lead the ministry. Let's pray for their diligence. Pray that that really the joy of the Lord would be coming out of their faces and smiles and eyes and handshakes. And let's pray for our coffee bar ministry as well, that people would come and gather around the bar, and the baristas would be really used by the Lord to welcome people into our church. So this is the pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray on our men's group, our Monday morning prayer meetings, the Pure Desire group, the men's fraternity, and particular retreat coming up in May 14 and 15. I pray that we would find a good speaker that would speak into our hearts. Let's also lift up the women's ministry as they are in the process of laying down their vision and forming according to the desires of the Father. Let's also lift up our young adults, our Yahweh ministry, that they would just continue to grow our men and women in those groups. So let's just lift up these men and women's ministries. Pray for House Church tonight, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, Island, New Conduit, Cimbria, Lion Rock, and McRobinson. And let's pray for God to move upon us. The Holy Spirit would captivate our attention tonight and real deep discussion and ministry and conversation and fellowship would be happening tonight. Pray for our leaders and the hosts and ask the Lord to use them powerfully. Let's pray, I know it's not on there, but let's pray for our anniversary this weekend. Pastor Eric Lehman is coming. He's actually in the air right now. He'll be arriving tonight. Let's pray for our Friday night services, Saturday night, and our Sunday services. He sent me the sermons, and it's going to be awesome, man. Let me give you the titles. Friday night is called A House That Will Last. Saturday night is a house that is in order, and Sunday is a house that is blessed. And so he really prayed quite a bit and really prayed through our theme, and I mean, he's going to be awesome. And so let's pray that our people would come and really receive from the Lord, and that we really celebrate God's faithfulness as we come together for our 13th anniversary. Well, let's pray. And pray for Pastor Eric as well. And this is the season of Lent, and so in this season, all the churches are praying for one another, and so today, the 21st, is our turn to pray for Methodist International Church and Kowloon City New Life Temple. And so let's just ask God's favor over these two churches. Methodist International, you know, is in Wan Chai, and they are in the midst of a huge building program. They actually totally gutted their facilities, and so they're meeting at a school nearby. And so let's pray. This is Pastor Howard Meller. Let's ask God's hand to be upon him and in this whole transition. He's actually leaving soon in the midst of this, and a new pastor will be coming in. And so let's just ask God's hand upon them. And also the New Life Temple, this is a Cantonese-speaking church. And so this year, a little differently, we're praying for an international church and a Chinese church every day. And so let's lift them up as well. And sorry, I don't really know much about them, but let's just ask God to bless them and their pastors and their leaders. And let's lift up. pray. Lord, we thank you this morning, God, and we do ask you to bless Methodist International and New Life Temple. We ask for the favor upon the leaders, upon their elders and deacons and volunteers, and the churches would continue to grow in their love for you, God, and their love for one another and the love for the city. Thank you this morning. Thank you for the word, God, and we are reminded, Lord, how easy it is to choose the easy way. Help us, God, to walk in full obedience, Lord, and be a people, God, that just doesn't want good things from you, God, but God are willing to sacrifice for it, Lord. And so we bless you, Father. Just thank you, God. Seal the word in our heart and help us to go through this day in the strength of our Lord. We thank you. We love you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.